Hey guys, Maestro here, bringing you episode 62 of Maestro on the Mic. In this episode, I bring on Jeremy Fine, who is what I'd like to call a skill acquisition coach. He focuses on things like handstands and, what we talk about in this episode, juggling. Gonna bring you the teaser in a second, but wanted to let you know that his online juggling course, which I'm currently enrolled in, will be opening up to the public on November 18th. I'm going to put the link in the show notes just because it's being hosted by Teachable and the link is just entirely too long for me to say. You guys aren't going to remember it anyway. So check the show notes. The link will be there. The course goes live on November 18th of this year, 2018. It's been totally awesome so far. If you have any desire at all to learn how to juggle, or if you already know how to juggle but want to learn how to juggle better, this is the route you want to go. So, DJ, gimme that, nope, not the heartbeat, gimme that teaser.
How can we learn to get better at learning? I grew up in a setting that largely expected people to become doctors and lawyers. And then, of course, I naturally went into circus school directly from there, where I studied juggling and German wheels, like you do.
When you're really good at something, you forget what it's like to be a novice.
There are certain things you can't uncover without specializing pretty deeply into something. If you try to start at the end, then it gets really, really frustrating. I am pretty convinced that we've got the best way to teach juggling online. But also just asking more questions and being okay with them remaining questions or leading to more questions.
This is Maestro on the Mic,
a podcast designed to help you change your mindset and your life.
It is time for something new.
Join host Dr. Shante Cofield, also known as the Movement Maestro, on a journey to see the bigger picture.
Open your eyes.
Find your passion.
And discover how movement unites us all.
Let's get it popping.
This is Maestro on the Mic. I'm the Maestro, and you're about to get maestrified.
3, 2, 1.
Hey guys, Maestro here, coming at you live with another episode of Maestro on the Mic. Today I have with me a very unique guest. If you're in the OMU circle, FRC circle, maybe you guys have heard of him, maybe you haven't, but you're going to learn a ton today. My dude Jeremy Fine is joining us. He is someone who has been juggling for almost 20 years. Not just juggling life, like legitimately juggling like clubs and chainsaws and such. I don't know about chainsaws, but that sounds really interesting, right? He went to circus school. You better believe we're going to be talking about that. He's been a circus coaching within the circus. He's done CrossFit coaching. He's been within the world of Edo Portal. Like I said, he's dabbled in that FRC realm. And overall, he's an entrepreneur. He's bringing a ton of information. And I'm really honestly super pumped to have him on. So without further ado, my friends, welcome to the show, Mr. Jeremy Fine.
Hello, Shante. Thanks for having me.
Dude, we've talked before, we've interacted before. I got to teach you, I don't know, a few months ago. My scale is like all skewed all the time, but we've definitely met in person, and Jeremy was actually kind enough to jump on a call with me not too long ago to discuss juggling, and I was like, man, you know, we've been talking about it. I was like, we have to get you on the podcast. So thank you for making the time. Like, I know it's not easy to set aside time for stuff like this, so thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I'm super excited. Every time we talk is always a good time. So right? I guess this time just a few more people will get to hear it.
Exactly. I was like, last time I was like, damn, we should have recorded that. But it's fine. We got it on now. So my dude, you know, we were talking before this started and you have a ton of cool stuff that you've done. You want to just give the folks your rendition of your bio?
Sure. So I think in a lot of ways my life has kind of gone in waves that I only see happening after they've already happened.
I like that.
But from my current perspective, I'm able to look back and see that a lot of this movement stuff started when I learned how to juggle back in middle school, so about 15, 20 years ago. And then I progressively got more and more into juggling and started performing it. I was performing with a friend of mine, also named Jeremy, and running a juggling club at WashU, where we went to school together. And ultimately, that took me to the point where I realized I wanted to do it for a living, do it professionally. So that took me from college to circus school. And that year, that kind of turned my life upside down in a lot of ways. I came out of it still loving circus and juggling, but realizing that it wasn't really the professional path for me. So that is what led me into coaching, which took me to CrossFit, eventually to Edo, as you mentioned, to a gym called Gymnasia, and now ultimately to working for myself, coaching on my own.
My man, I love the journey. Like, that's what I bring people on and I want to share with, because we start with one path and then, like you said, it was that hindsight that you're like, oh yeah. Why not professional circus? I don't even know how to say it. Professional circusry. Like, why not?
So, I mean, honestly, I think I uncovered a lot of stuff that people from the outside could have already seen and did already see, which is that I had a lot of anxiety, a lot of performance anxiety. Not just the performing itself, but also kind of the lifestyle of being nomadic and never knowing what your next gig is and constantly working to find work. Which is funny because it's led me to a similar point now, 6 or so years later. But I realized that there was a lot of value I was getting out of performing, but maybe not enough to the point where I would force myself to be in a position where I had to confront that over and over again.
That makes sense. Did you meet any kind of resistance from like your family or your friends when you were like, I want to pursue juggling as a career? Or was it they're like, great?
So I'll speak to the friends first, probably because it's funnier. In my high school, I went to a small school where kind of a whole group of kids in my grade got into juggling together. And honestly, I think by the time we graduated, like 50%+ of my grade could juggle.
Dude.
So there definitely wasn't a lot of resistance there.
I love it.
My parents, honestly, like, I owe so much of what I'm doing now to how they raised me and how supportive they were. I got no resistance, definitely lots of some questions and feedback, but they were always supportive of me trying to pursue what I wanted. And the question came up over and over again. Like, I got kind of implicit resistance from everyone who just assumed they were expecting a certain path from me. But they themselves never put that on me.
Wow. That's somewhat uncommon, I feel like. But that's awesome. And I'm glad that it led you to kind of where you are now, just having that support. But yeah, let me go ahead.
No, just I'm so grateful to be able to be in this position, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. Like, just finding that having that support network. Talking about your friends, though, and this is something that I experienced. So for those of you out there listening, if you don't know, I know how to juggle. Nowhere near as good as Mr. Fine here. But when I was in elementary school, we had it as a unit every year. It would be like, it was like circus unit in gym. It wasn't juggling because we learned how to like do like plates and like devil sticks and stuff like that. And so we had it every year. And I remember just loving it and being like, this is really cool. And, you know, first you start with like scarves and then it was balls and rings and then clubs. I never got past two clubs. Spinning the clubs was very difficult for me, but it was awesome. And the majority of the people in our class, you just start loving it. And this is one of the reasons I wanted to bring him on, because I want you guys out there to get exposed to it. It is such a fun skill, hobby, whatever you want to call it. And it's something that, and you can disagree with me, but I don't think you're going to, that everyone can learn how to do.
Yeah.
Like, it's pretty amazing to me. So my question to you, why juggling? What was it about? What is it about it that drew you in or keeps you drawn in?
So I'd say almost definitely what drew me in is not the same as what keeps me drawn in now. I've just changed a lot since I was in middle school.
I mean, yeah, it's like been quite a few years. So
yeah, I think initially I would say it probably had to do with the friendship. My my friend Daniel Fogel, shout out, learned how to juggle himself and then came back. He went to a circus camp actually and came back and taught me. So ultimately, like, yeah, I just wanted to hang out with friends and have something fun to do. But then what really kind of helped it take off, I think, was having something to dive into and get better at, often alone.
Okay, yeah.
So definitely the kind of kid and now adult who would often rather spend hours on end practicing juggling on his own rather than going out to the bar.
You're speaking my language, man. You're speaking my language. I'm like, this is way better. So
yeah. I don't know why other people haven't found it.
I'm like, this is actually great. But yeah, dude, this is great. And so that keeps you going. Is it like, I mean, you have an introverted personality and it's something you can continue to get better and get better at?
Definitely. My movement practice in general, whether it's like strength training or mobility work, juggling, whatever it is this constant kind of interplay between working on my own and kind of engaging with myself and then bringing it to others and learning with others. And juggling for me, until I started teaching it pretty regularly, was really more of a practice on my own. Or even when I was performing with a partner, it was very collaborative and we were constantly training and choreographing and building together. But it was still this kind of small, intimate experience where the two of us were working together to make something, or maybe three or four people, but able to kind of escape from a lot of the noise.
Yeah. Can you speak on that a little bit more and tease that out? It sounds to me like you're talking about there's a meditative component to it, a mindfulness component to, and I love that you said skill acquisition. So we can talk about your other skills and stuff too, but as it relates to juggling, just because, you know, we've been talking about that, have you found, or what are your thoughts on? I mean, you've been coaching it for years, so you've not only experienced it, but you see it in other people. What's that kind of mindset, mindfulness aspect of things?
Yeah. So ultimately, juggling to me at this point is basically a perfect example of a skill that you can acquire and apply principles to. So the way I teach it is basically, how can you go about learning a skill that you don't currently have? Because most people tend to think of it as impossible until they learn it. And I think that's pretty nice. It can be inspiring to see, oh, this thing I thought was impossible, I was banging my head against the wall, I can do it. It becomes easy. And somewhere in there, I'd say it becomes meditative. So it's really interesting to watch other people go through that process of, like, you know, throwing balls at the ground and walking after them and picking them up and just building frustration to ultimately this thing that can become kind of a meditative practice. And it's that transition that I find really beautiful.
Dude, that is amazing. And like you said, applies to so much in life. I mean, you and I had that talk not too long ago, you know, just about teaching people juggling, and everything you were saying, I was like, yeah, man, this just applies to life. And you summed it up so nicely there. Just how can you go about learning a skill that you don't already have? Like, that is everything in life. And then challenging yourself to do that in the first place, and then kind of figuring it out along the way, and that hindsight coming into play once you do have it, you know, everything's impossible until it's done. And suddenly you're like, oh, actually, I can do it. And I think for me, obviously, you know, my background, movement world, physical therapy, for me, movement is the best medicine we have. Movement to me is the answer for everything. Movement in any capacity, breathing, you know, any kind of movement. And to have something like this particular skill that is movement, I think that it becomes so, the message becomes so tangible for people because they can feel it. They're like, I couldn't do this thing, and now I can do it. I, you know, I can look at a video, I could not do this, and now I can do this. And it just lends itself to being like, what else can I do? So I love that that's something that you see and that you, you know, impart and preach. How do you, I don't know if you can answer this on, I mean, you did it before when I asked you, but if someone was like, hey, I have never juggled ever, but now I'm interested because Jeremy's spitting all this fire. How do you go about you know, just the 30,000 foot view of it, because he does have a course coming out, guys. We will talk about that shortly. But how do you go about speaking to that with someone or instructing them?
So honestly, a much more common approach I hear from people is that they've tried to juggle before and they're mm-hmm. convinced it's impossible, or not even that it's impossible, that they can't do it. So I can't even tell you the number of times people have seen me juggle and come up to me without, you know, I didn't do anything to start a conversation yeah. other than stand there juggling. And people will just come up to me and be like, oh, I could never do that. I'm so uncoordinated. And I'm like, well, slow down. First of yeah. all, like, how are you defining coordinated? And how are you so convinced that you know that you're uncoordinated?
Yeah, that you can't do this. What mindset yeah. there?
So, yeah, but to actually answer your question, the biggest difference between how I teach people and how people tend to try to teach themselves, I think, is just that I start with like zero and then one ball instead of just grabbing three and trying to do it. Yeah. And honestly, if I could say nothing else about juggling, I think a lot of people who are convinced they can't do it have just tried three and failed over and over again and gotten frustrated. And that's true of a lot of, I see the same thing with handstands, with mm-hmm. learning to barbell snatch, you know, it's all the
Anything.
Same. If you yeah. try to start at the end, then it gets really, really frustrating.
Exactly. That is, again, summed up so perfectly. If you try to start at the end, no good. No good.
I mean, work.
It's a skill like anything else. I love how you're breaking this down, which actually is what you're telling people to do, is break it down into the pieces, learn each part, commit to the process of learning each part. And suddenly you've built this foundation and you're like, shit, I can do this thing. I couldn't do the whole thing, but I can do this. And then I put it together and suddenly I can do everything. Jeremy, when we spoke last time, you had said something really profound, in my humble opinion, about it being about the throws, not the catch. Could you just summarize that again?
Yeah. So I think it goes back to what you were just saying about kind of the process as opposed to the destination. Where so many people get caught up in drops. And it turns out that, honestly, drops aren't even all that important. So if you make 10 different throws in 10 different places, yeah, you're going to drop some of them. But if you can make a relatively similar throw 10 times in a row, of course the catches are going to get more consistent. So what people at the beginning often fall into is when they drop, they try really quickly to pick it up and try again and then drop again, which builds frustration. Where honestly, if you can just take out the number of throws you even have and just practice fewer throws per minute at an mm-hmm. easier rate, yeah, you'll drop less and then you'll want to keep going. And when the throws become good, the catches are easy. It's that beginners are trying to make really hard catches, and if they miss them, it can get frustrating.
Man, you just dropped life knowledge right there. I'm sitting here. This morning I was snatching, and that is by far my worst movement, just because I suck at it and need to practice it more, you know. But I'm working on snatching, and everything you're saying is spot on. When you want to have that, you know, for me, I'd love to snatch just more than I snatch now. But the main thing is when you try to just snatch, it doesn't work. You try to start at the end there. It's like, hey, how is your setup? How is your pull? How is your strength? How are your throws? Are you setting yourself up for success, or just trying to do it and hope that you can catch it and then being pissed off that you didn't? Like, that is
absolutely
so spot on. My guy, let's drop it now since you're drop it, but not that. Let's talk about it now since we're talking about it anyway. You have a course, an online course coming up, and you're doing some stuff with OMU. You want to just tell the people what all of this is. This is for those of you guys out there listening who, you know, you're interested and you want to learn. One of my best pieces of advice in general is get a coach for things. Like, yes, you can learn things on your own, but get some guidance. You want to learn a skill that's really outside of your wheelhouse, get a coach. I hired a online gymnastics coach, Kirsty Grossart. I'll have her on at some point. I'm actually joining the program, if you will, that Jeremy's about to talk about. So if you're something that you want to do and you're not sure how, ask for help from someone who's really freaking good at it. Makes sense. So I want to tell them about what's coming up.
Sure. So I'm super excited about this. I am pretty convinced that we've got the best way to teach juggling online, which honestly I wasn't even sold on before we started diving into it. It was kind of an experiment, mm-hmm. and so far it's been a really successful one. So I'm collaborating, like you said, with the OMU folks, the Online Movement University, and we're presenting this 4-week course where we've got 4 consecutive Sundays with live webinars. So I'll be teaching, honestly, even in the first week alone, I'll be teaching a pretty exhaustive process for how to learn how to juggle. And then during the weeks, we'll be practicing within a private community and getting kind of video feedback and talking about different strategies that are working and not working. I've got 2 assistant coaches who'll be helping to monitor the group. And then over the course of the 4 weeks, we'll not only progress kind of the fundamental skills, but we'll actually be taking things a bit further. So I've already got a wide variety of skill levels signed up. And we've got some people who have never juggled before and are just looking to try something new. And then we've got people who are juggling 4, 5, 6 objects, a couple people who are looking to start performing, and kind of that whole spectrum.
Man, I'm super pumped. When I found out you guys were doing this, I was like, how do I get into this thing? Because this is dope. Like, not only is it a way to learn from someone, but there's a community. And we know, you know, CrossFit has shown us, you provide a community and things just explode. Like, we learn mm-hmm. together, but it's also allows you to do it on your own, because if you're like me and Jeremy, like, sometimes you're like, but I'd rather do this alone. You can, because it's online. So I think that's awesome. You guys listening, this episode is going to come out after this has already launched, because today we're recording it. It's the 17th. This episode won't come out till for another 2 weeks or so. And it opens on Sunday, right? This Sunday, the 20-something.
Yep, so 21st.
You guys are going to miss it, but want to tell them what the good news is?
Yeah. So for anyone who did sign up who happens to be listening, you've got access to that for the rest of your life. But then anyone else will be making the course available after the fact. So starting on November 11th, you can purchase the course for yourself and go through those 4 weeks of work at your own pace.
Amazing. So this episode, what I may do with timing is either before it. Either way, I will make it and link it in the show notes so that you guys can go and click and sign up. If you follow me on social media, you'll be able to check things out with that. I am super, super pumped about this. This is just like a really cool opportunity and something I've always loved. I learned how to juggle in elementary school, and I've just been at that kind of 3 balls and that's been it. But it's still something that's so cool to me. So to see people that are better than you and you can learn from them and another community of people, and it's just such an amazing skill, hobby, whatever you want to call it. Like, this is dope. So you guys listening, yeah, you will have your chance to learn, to participate. I will link all of that in the show notes. And if you're wondering with OMU, I had actually talked about it with DJ, or Strong Camps, as you guys may know him. I will link that episode in the show notes also, because it's another online community, just exposing people to a bunch of different movement paradigms and concepts, and it's pretty cool. So I think it's waiting list only at this point, but still, you should know about it. So I'll link all that in the bio. Jeremy, can you do me a solid, because we're kind of talking about it. You had said it earlier, and I want to talk about it some more. This concept of skill acquisition, like that, you're not just, that sounds bad, just a juggling coach, but there's more to you and what you do than juggling.
Yeah. So honestly, professionally, juggling is a fairly small part of what I do right now. I'm primarily, I'd say, a mobility and skills coach, where I strive to prepare people for anything that they want to do by providing kind of the prerequisites at the joint level. And then I happen to enjoy also teaching a variety of skills that I think can be applied to any sort of learning process that people want. So for instance, I'd say juggling and handstands are probably 2 of the main things that I've found myself coaching over the years, because that's where there's been a lot of interest in my work. Mm-hmm. But another example, I'm working with a golfer. I don't know how to golf. I would probably be the worst golfer. But we're working on kind of the mobility that he in part is lacking, and that will kind of help his game get to the next step.
Dude, spot fucking on there. I think that, you know, I talk about this a lot with my guy, Anthony, Anthony Mercurio. For you guys out there listening, I did an episode with him. He's a strength and conditioning coach. He has a CrossFit box. And we talk about this, how you'll see, especially at like the youth level, when people are talking about, oh, I'm going to like go, you know, do extra work for soccer and things like that. There is realistically so many more important things to do than, okay, I'm going to bring my soccer ball into the weight room. That's what a lot of coaches will tend to do. And like that is actually not sport specific. It's like you need to give this person the prerequisites to be able to move for whatever sport it is that they need to play. And for the most part, people that, especially once they're a little more high level, like they have a lot of the skills. What they need to work on is really getting that solid foundation. Right? We are very good at practicing skills and high level stuff and the stuff we're good at. But it's like, hey, if you give this person the ability to get into these positions and you give them, you know, get them strong in those positions, their competency is already there, and it makes it that much easier to go and do whatever it is you do. So, you know, I have some PTs listening to this, and I had like someone on social media, I believe, who reached out to me and just kind of talking about this same concept where, you know, she was like, well, I'm not a specialist in this, you know, particular sport. And I was just like, you know, I haven't been treating that long. I'm eight years out, but I found that I can treat anything because it's just like, do you understand what kind of prerequisites, as you said, which is big in the FRC world. Do you understand what this person needs to be able to do the thing they want to do? Give them that. And then if they need more, you know, truly refined high level stuff, it becomes that much easier. Can you talk about, because I loved this, you brought this up before you did an Instagram live with DJ. You do all this skill acquisition stuff. And at one point in time, you felt like you just, you know, you were too good at juggling. Can you talk about that? Because I think this is a really interesting point.
Yeah. It's funny to think of being too good at anything, really. Yeah. But it was a big kind of shift in my thinking happened as I got into the Ido Portal method. Mm-hmm. And they definitely helped me kind of tie a lot of those strings together that I had been seeing. Like, why am I interested in juggling? Why circus? Why CrossFit? Why Olympic weightlifting? And it, you know, it's movement. I was interested in movement, and that whole world and that whole realization brought about this question of specializing versus generalizing, mm-hmm. which I think is kind of a hot topic in the movement world. You just touched on it in the PT world, and I think the pendulum may have swung a little too far in the direction of generalizing, mm-hmm. where specializing kind of gets a bad name often.
Yeah.
And so I started looking at juggling as this thing like, why should I practice more juggling that I'm already proficient at when I could be getting my squat stronger, or mm-hmm. I could be increasing my shoulder mobility? And I think there's some truth to that, right? It is important to develop a variety of qualities. But what I didn't appreciate at the time that I've come around to is there are certain things you can't uncover without specializing pretty deeply into something. So the lessons I can learn from juggling are just qualitatively different from what I can learn from other things that I haven't spent the years diving into.
That is... I'm sitting here dissecting what you said and trying to digest it. That is, it is really profound that there's some things you can't uncover without being able to specialize and being very proficient in something. You know, this ties, there's a lot of similarities and a lot of overlap between the conversations I had with DJ. And this, I think part of that too is there's also some experiences you can't have without specializing and being really good at something and putting a lot of time into something. You know, what you kind of said earlier, we're talking about this meditative state and get, you know, being in the present in the moment. And that ties into this concept that's so hot right now, flow, right? Being in that flow state. And you can't get into that flow state without some certain, there's a word again, prerequisites. And I think, you know, DJ and I talked about, one of them is that it has to be a higher level skill or something that you appreciate as a skill because it took you time to be able to do it, you know, like for the person that's like chasing, and you do CrossFit coaching, so you know that person that's chasing that feeling of a perfect snatch, You don't know what that is until you spent years doing shitty snatches, or, you know, where you've put in the time to be like, man, there's so many parts to this, and I've put in this time, and I've had all these missed lifts, and I've built that foundation so that when I do this thing, because I specialized in it, you know what it feels like. And I think that's a great, great point there, that you can't experience certain things or uncover certain things without that specialization. So what did you do when you had that inner turmoil and such?
Honestly, I put away my juggling bag. I was so convinced I had to kind of eat my vegetables and, mm-hmm. Learn to squat heavier and all this other stuff, that I built, I think, some guilt around practicing my juggling. And yeah, I guess I gave that enough time where I started to miss it, which is its own lesson, I suppose.
Yeah, true.
And ultimately, I came back to it ready to learn more. And so I guess there was a phase where I thought I was done learning. And obviously, that lesson will teach itself eventually. You're never done learning. Yeah. and I think I've broken through that guilt where, of course, I have lots of things that I want to work on and get better at. But that doesn't stop me from doing other things.
So besides juggling, what's your favorite things to do? You have a favorite thing to teach, coach?
That is a great question. I think to me, coaching and probably a lot of professional direction for a lot of people comes down to kind of solving a puzzle. Yeah. So ultimately, it comes down to what puzzles I enjoy solving over and over again and mm-hmm. getting better at solving. And I think that's what keeps bringing me back to mobility coaching. Yeah. Absolutely, I value the importance of it, and I've seen my own progress in the realm of mobility. But if I'm being honest with myself, I think it comes down to how much I enjoy asking the questions and then searching for answers within that. So it's not necessarily the sexiest answer as like a skilled coach, but mobility training is the puzzle that I look at and doesn't seem to get old and doesn't seem like it will get old. And the skills are kind of more, they're like gateways into what else we can learn. Mm-hmm. So when I coach juggling or handstands or anything else, it's often with an eye towards, okay, how can we learn to get better at learning? How can we learn to acquire skills in general? It's not necessarily about the juggling itself or the straight perfect handstand. Mm-hmm. Those are just kind of ways to get people's feet in the doorway.
It's so true. As someone that's worked to get better at both of those things, like I said, I hired an online coach because I wanted to work on handstands. She's a gymnastics coach. She's, big with handstands, hand balancing. But I hired her because I was like, I want to not have anxiety when I go upside down. So, it really becomes this fun thing. You guys listening to this, if you haven't tried new things, do it. Especially if you're really good at something already, because it can be a career that you're really good at or a specific movement. But when you're really good at something, you forget what it's like to be a novice. And part of that is frustration, but you can learn a ton from that. But there's also just so much fun, and your brain seeks this out. Your brain wants this novel stimulus, this new things to play around with and new things to explore. I encourage you guys out there, try something new. And I brought this dude on mainly because I think juggling is something that it has like very low barrier to entry. Like, you just use socks if you need. Most people have those. Like, you can figure out something to try and practice with. You're not going to get injured. Like, ideally with handstands, you're not going to get injured either, but like, you can. Right? And some people don't have the mobility to like put their arms over their head and get into a handstand. With juggling, it's like, you are pretty good. Like, can you move your hands to this position, your arms to this position? Okay. Do you have eventually three objects? You can do this. Like, it's something I strongly, strongly encourage you guys to go out and do. There's just so many lessons, and you hear Jeremy saying it over and over again. So many lessons, lessons about that we can extrapolate to the bigger picture there. Like, speaking of the bigger picture, my dude, what?
Bring it.
Is your background, like, school-wise, what is your time? Someone asked, like,
what are you? What did you go to school for? Like, what would you say to them?
I would say I grew up in a setting that largely expected people to become doctors and lawyers.
Oh.
And I ended up going to school. I started in the undergrad business school because I was interested in economics and marketing. And I pretty quickly, which is maybe a theme in my life, I pretty quickly realized that the people around me were in the school to kind of gain a competitive advantage in the marketplace, which was a phrase that came up over and over again. Whereas I just wanted to study the topics that I found interesting.
Yes.
And so I ended up transferring into the School of Arts and Sciences, a much better place for me.
Yes, sounds like
but
it.
But I still majored in economics, and then I minored in psychology, but I definitely started going more in the direction of psych by the end of my years there. And then, of course, as an econ and psych major, I naturally went into circus school directly.
Yeah, exactly, there, right?
where I studied juggling and German wheel, like you do.
It's amazing. I love it. And then mobility work, right? That your main approach, understanding background is FRC?
Yeah, it certainly wasn't my first. I would say I took an interest initially in mobility when I was trying to get into circus school.
Okay.
And
yeah.
I was maybe literally the second least flexible person I had seen after my dad, who probably gave me most of those qualities. Literally, like, I not only could I not touch my toes, I could barely reach past my knees.
Wow.
I couldn't lift my arms, like, you know, they're like a little bit above parallel, maybe. I was a tin man.
Wow. That has changed.
Yeah, I've made some progress, I would say.
Yeah. Wow. Wow.
But yeah, these days, FRC definitely is the most representative of the work I do. So I'm an FRCMS, recently an FRA, Functional Range Assessment certified. And yeah, it's one of those things where I don't have the scientific background to truly evaluate the different systems that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
But having gone into the FRC world and both trained myself in it and then trained others, it's the proof is in the pudding. Like,
it's a system.
I'm
you guys,
like, and I credit a lot of that to the system.
Yeah, it is a system that works. You guys listening, I brought Hunter Fitness on a few episodes ago. I'll link that. I brought Joe Lavaca on. He's a big proponent of that. I will kind of link both of those episodes in there. FRC, for you, if you guys that don't know, it's functional range conditioning. It's a system that's been put out by Andre Ospina. It has an assessment portion. It has this mobility movement component. There is a manual component, the FR classes. But yeah, I'll link to Hunter's episodes. You can hear a lot more about that in the show notes. And I love that you said it, that you don't have necessarily the science background to, you know, compare and contrast with other things. And that's kind of what I was going at also, is that you can become anything you want. You guys listening, like, you can take any path you want. You can do anything you want. Everything is out there to learn. You can learn it in any way you want. Like, make this life what you want it to be. How is that going for you, my dude? As an entrepreneur, you've moved into that, this entrepreneurial space. How is that going?
Yeah, it is such an interesting process.
Yeah.
It's all the cliches. It's almost like a breakup, right? Everything people have ever said on a card or in a commercial starts coming true. And you're like, oh, crap, I became a cliche. Like, I'm that guy who left his job and started working for himself and then goes in waves of like, oh my gosh, everything's amazing. Dude, what do I do today? Where am I?
Yes.
Yeah, it's been quite interesting. And it's maybe a parallel to the juggling course where I've started doing online coaching, mobility, and things around it. And I, again, wasn't sold. I guess I resist being sold on things, but I wasn't sure that I could effectively coach people online. I don't love staring at a computer all day. That was one of the things that got me into coaching in the first place. But what I've found is I'm connecting with people more quickly on a deeper level than I was, I think, in person. Not because a computer is a more effective communication tool, but because we're communicating about different things, I'm talking to them sitting in their living rooms and about their lifestyles. And when you enter a gym space, all of a sudden you're in this realm of fitness and everything that goes along with it. And people often, I think, distance themselves from what I would consider their real lives, and they try to enter this other fitness life, where when you can kind of break through that barrier, you get into what's really going on with people, which ultimately I would say is more important.
And that is, you guys listening, write all this stuff down, please. My podcast, you guys know, it's about seeing the bigger picture, the connection, and creating the life that you want. You know, happiness is for everyone. And one of the things that I want you to take from what he just said also was something that my good friend Dr. Ellie Summers speaks about and has said many times, is just treat that first patient. In this case, just see that first online client. And is, you know, like Jamie said, is like you start off and you're like, I don't know how this is going to work. I don't know if it's going to work, but it will never work if you don't try it. So it's like, give it a shot. And does it work? Okay, cool. Let me refine this. And then, like Jeremy just teased out for you, there's all these other things that you can start to learn as you do it. And it's like, okay, well, this is actually, this kind of setting is a bit better because of X, Y, and Z. And this allows me to do this because of X, Y, and Z. Whereas, you know, before we started, we're able to be like, what if? I don't know, what if? And then, you know, we catastrophize in one second. Like, what are you, let's plug you. If they want coaching, if they want to reach out to you, how can they do that?
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
My website is Fine Movement, last name, F-E-I-N, movement.com. And then the place that people tend to contact me, honestly, is on Instagram.
Love
I'm
it.
I'm just at Jeremy Fine, full name. Yeah, I think that's how we started getting in touch in the first place. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, social media is the shit, so...
Yeah,
it is.
I've also gotten many waves with that, all kinds of feelings there.
Yes, I ride them every day, every minute. I'm sure. I'm like, I'm never at a point where I'm like, I'm getting off of social media, but I'm just sometimes like, what the hell is going on in what?
And you must, I can't even imagine the messages and comments you must get like, bombarded with.
It's interesting. You see the best of society. I haven't seen the worst. I'm not going to say I've seen the worst because I haven't. I mean, my audience is tremendous. All you guys listening, I love you. I honestly, you know, sing the praises of social media so much because it has been overwhelmingly so good to me. But you also see trends, and sometimes those trends, you don't like them. And sometimes you see things and you're just like, dang, that's all I can say about it. Dang.
Yeah.
All right. You're like, dang. But you guys listening, I will also link, I got lots of things coming for you in the show notes, but I will link that finemovement.com, F-E-I-N, and social media at Jeremy Fine. So you can check all of that out. And like I said, if there's something that you want to be good at and you don't know how to do it, find someone who's good at it and ask them for help. Pay them for their time, pay them for their services, and you put in the work, honestly, because when you pay attention, as Danny Matei says, and, you know, you get better at this. If people reach out to you, my dude, they can get coaching in everything? He kind of does everything.
Yeah, my target market is everyone who wants to do everything.
Done. I love it.
So my focus is on mobility and what I would call mobility and lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely coach on some habits around breathing, sleeping, kind of like we talked about social media routines.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the things that I see often getting in the way of what people are trying to accomplish. So it's a bit more holistic, but it's definitely mobility focused.
Yes.
I guess while I'm plugging, I should be saying that. But if I'm being totally honest, some people have written to me about other things, and it's hard for me not to continue helping people with handstands and juggling and what people want to be doing. So
yeah.
I'm still there too.
I love it. And you know what? You're going through the same thing I go through and I'm going through, where when you've done something for a long time, at some point you want to do something new, or you see the bigger picture, which you have, which is why you left the job, which is what you've been saying this whole time about, you know, the bigger picture with juggling and problem solving and how you like to help other people learn how to solve problems and learn how to be okay with trying new things and, you know, skill acquisition and learning in general. And so once you get to a point, and you guys listening out there, you have the same thing will happen. Once you get to a point where you see that bigger picture, you want other people to experience that. And it becomes tough because you're just like, I see what you want to get better at, but there's bigger stuff. And if you work on this bigger stuff, you will get better at that thing. But like you said, you know, you got the entry point for a lot of people is just basic movement. Like, can I lift my arms up above my head now? Or can I juggle? Can I do these handstands? So, you know, for you guys listening, Jeremy can handle and help you with that. And for you, my dude, I feel you. I'm right there with you where it's like, but I want to show you this thing. But if you want to do that thing, that's fine. We can work on it. And you guys listening, it'll happen to you too. You know, when you're good at something, you've been doing something for a long time, you're passionate about something, especially if you create a social media platform around it, you become, you know, known for that thing. So people come to you for that thing. And then you're like, but I do other stuff too. So keep fighting that good fight, my dude. I'm right there with you. I know the feeling. So I think it's part of the reason I started this podcast was like, I want to do other stuff. But we can talk about
physical therapy. I mean, where were you? You could be like the mirror maestro. just like holding up a mirror to myself. Yes. If you had done this like 10 years ago, who knows where I could have been, you know?
I like that. I'm stealing that. The mirror maestro. I love that. That's amazing. My dear Jeremy, before I wrap us up, I mean, I knew the podcast was going to be good because we've talked before. I know how you think, but I love it when guests come on and their message just resonates so hard with my main message for this show. Where it's like, yeah, speak about this one thing that you're good at, but also what's the person behind this and what's the bigger picture? Do they see the bigger picture? Can the audience get the bigger picture from it? And my, you guys out there, he just spoon-fed it to you. Like, this is an awesome, awesome episode. Before I cut us off, man, you have anything else you want to share with the people? Plug yourself, life lessons, whatever.
Oh, man. I'm definitely done plugging myself. That's not my favorite.
We all struggle with that, I know.
But yeah, I guess one other thing that comes to mind is asking questions and not necessarily seeking answers all the time. So what I've been seeing a lot in my own coaching, what I see on bigger pages like yours, on social media in general, is just like looking for answers of various kinds. Give me juggling, give me a 200-pound snatch, you know, what do I want? How do I get it? But also just asking more questions and being okay with them remaining questions or leading to more questions.
Dude, love it. Simple, to the point. Dropping knowledge bomb after knowledge bomb. I'm going to tie into that. I know. I'm like, man, like, this is good. Ask questions. Reach out, connect, ask questions, and be okay with the journey. I love it. I love it, man. You guys listening, I'm going to encourage you, go and check this dude out. You have a bunch of resources coming your way. That whole entire course is going to be online. I'm going to link it for you. I've already linked it for you. You guys can just scroll down depending what platform you use. If you go to my website, it'll be on there. If you use iTunes, I know for sure it'll be on there. If you're using Stitcher or Google Play or Spotify, I don't really know how those platforms work, so maybe it's not in there, but it's definitely on the actual website, themovementmaestro.com. And check him out. Check Jeremy's stuff out. You're going to have the course. You can go to findmovement.com. You can go to @JeremyFine on social media. And if nothing else, just reach out and connect. This is an awesome opportunity. I'm all about the bigger picture. I'm all about just doing things, moving, things that can really get you going in that right direction. So do that. I encourage you. Please, please, please. Mr. Jeremy, thank you. Thank you, and thank you for coming on. I know you're a busy dude. You got things to juggle.
Thank you, my friend.
Like, this is awesome. You make time for this, and it's all about connections. We spoke at that course however many months ago, and I knew that I'd be seeing you again and talking to you again. Like, be like this dude. Reach out. Keep lines of communication open. This is really good stuff. So thank you, guys. Thank you for coming on, my dude. We'll have
you back on again. I'm so glad I ended up going to that course. What a good decision that was.
I was like, everything happens for a reason. Like you said in the beginning, man, it's tying it all in. Like you said in the beginning, you look back on stuff and you're like, oh, yes, I see now why. Hindsight 2020. So I feel very fortunate that Rock Tape brings a lot of cool people into my life. And I think that I'm thankful that you are one of them. So thank you. Cool. And thank you, my dude. You guys out there listening, thank you. I know you could have been doing anything, but you chose to listen to us. And I'm super appreciative of that. So if you guys don't mind, if you have a second, leave a review. If you loved it, give us a little like there. It makes it easier to find the podcast. I know I asked for it a lot, but if I don't ask, it doesn't happen. So if you've already done one, thank you. If you haven't, consider it. If you're too busy, I understand. Until next time, friends, Mr. Jeremy and Maestro out.